America's farmers are growing older. According to the latest USDA farm census, the average age of a farmer is now 58. That's 7 years older than in the 1980s.
But that's just the average age of farm operators. When we look at farm owners, their average age is now 70 and over. At the same time, new farmers trying to get into the business, they're finding that land is often expensive and hard to find.
Lindsay Rabin joins us right now. She's a consultant to beginning farmers and an organizer with New Organic Stewards, a project called Renewing Countryside and the Midwest Organic and Sustainable Education Service, or MOSES. Lindsay, welcome to Central Time.
Hi, thanks for having me.
So there is a change going on in farming. It appears that the average age of farmers is going up, and the people who own the land actually are getting even older, which means that there's a lot of change that's going to happen in the world of farming, right?
That's right, and a lot of acreage is set to be transferred in the next 20 years, about 400 million acres.
Now is there an issue where there are not as many younger people who are interested in farming, or is that something that's changing as this happens?
It's a complex issue. There are less farmers. There has been, increase in corporate farming, increase in mechanization of farming, specialization of crops, crop subsidies, crop insurance. The way we farm is different. More people are moving to the city. There's decreased population in our rural areas. And so there's a number, it's a complex web of reasons why. But this last survey that came out from the USDA in 2012 showed a decrease in beginning farmers, a 20% decrease.
When you say beginning farmers, does that mean, if somebody's in a family and they are farming and it's handed down to them, would they be considered a beginning farmer if they take over the farm? Or is that anybody who's young and takes over a farm? How does that work?
They would still be considered. It's broadly defined as anyone who's farmed for less than 10 years.
Okay.
By the USDA.
So is part of this that people don't want to stay on the farm? They go off and get jobs somewhere else?
I think there's a lot there. Again, it's a complex number of reasons. We have lost a lot of our culture around food and farming and raising a healthy culture, a healthy economy around food. And so I think that there's a lot of different ways, but a lot of this generation that is below the farmers right now are not farming. And so a lot of the new farmers are coming from with no farming background. They were not raised as farmers. A lot of them are coming from the city. And so we have a new kind of generation that's up and coming as the new farmers. So right now about 6% of the U.S. farmers are under 35.
Mm-hmm.
Which is a very small amount of people. But there is a slight increase in growth from like the 25 to 35 age range. And there are a lot of barriers to get into farming if you don't come from a farming family. Aside from just the knowledge increase, there is a large, it's capital intensive to buy land, to have money for equipment, for all of the startup capital that you need, and then to not be guaranteed to make money in the first few years of your business. It's extremely risky to get into farming, despite the fact we continue to see more and more passionate young people wanting to return to the land.
So what kind of people are you working with? I mean, you consult with people who are starting out as farmers. What kind of people are they?
There's two kind of populations of new agrarians that we're seeing. We're seeing young college graduates that have gotten degrees in other things, maybe related to the environment, maybe not, that have decided they want to be more connected to the land and to live where they work and produce food for their community. And then we're also seeing kind of the second career farmers that have worked other jobs most of their life, and they are either retired or, in their 50s, deciding that they want to go back to the land and farm. So those are the kind of two people that we're seeing. And then in general, we're seeing the general statistics is that there's an increase in women farmers and also an increase in minority farmers in general, including about like 21% increase in Latino farmers and Asian farmers.
But do you feel that there's still a crisis in getting new people into farming, though, despite that?
Absolutely. We need many more farmers. And I think that there's a number of ways that we could incentivize new farmers and also decrease the barriers for young people getting into farming.
What needs to happen? There are actually a couple number of things I want to ask you about, but the first thing is, what do you think are some of the barriers? I mean, you talked about the expense of the land, the expense of the equipment, the fact that it's a risky business in a lot of ways because of mm-hmm. weather and things like that. Are there other issues that are creating barriers for people moving into farming?
The National Young Farmers Coalition is a group that supports young farmers, and one of their major issues right now that they're promoting and advocating for is student debt loan forgiveness. About two-thirds of our college graduates leave with student debt, and many of those young people are not able to either, you know, take on more debt to grow the farm or access credit because of their existing student loan debt. And there's a program that exists already called the Public Service Loan Forgiveness Program, where that's available to doctors, nurses, teachers, government employees, some nonprofit employees.
But it's not focused on farmers.
Does not include farmers. So they're asking right now to amend this program to include farmers and to recognize farming as a public service. The program works. It forgives the loan, the federal loan, after 10 years of paying payments.
10 years of oh, okay. That makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Yep. So that's one. That's another hurdle. That's an example of a hurdle that would greatly, that would allow people to have more flexibility to invest in a new business. Connecting people to the land. You know, there's a lot of reconnecting our culture. You know, which includes elder farmers with new farmers, eaters with producers, urban to rural.
Is there a cultural issue too? I mean, you know, some older farmers are more traditional, and some of the people who are coming into new farmers are maybe a little different. Is that an issue at all in moving things forward?
Absolutely. There's definitely different cultures. It's regional. You know, I'm based here in Minnesota in the Midwest. I work with Midwest organizations. Wendell Berry speaks to that in a great book called Unsettling of America. And I think that there definitely is cultural issues. There's generational issues, but there's nothing that can't be figured out in a respectful intergenerational land transfer. I think we need to be more creative and more and work on these solutions together. To figure out how to do it. This is a huge amount of land, 400 million acres transferred in the next 20 years. This includes the health of our soil, the health of our water, the food, you know, the health of the food that we eat. You know, this it's a major issue.
So do you, in your work, do you find yourself talking to either, you know, the landowners or the family of the landowners and saying, hey, we'd like to keep this as a farm, and if you can work with us and we can get access to the land for some people who want to be new farmers, is that something that successfully happens on a pretty regular basis, or is it a challenge because of other people who want the land?
There's a number of programs in the Midwest. Renewing the Countryside has a farm transitions program with Sustainable Farming Association of Minnesota, and they work to figure out business plans and farm transfer plans that for family farms to figure out what's going to happen with their land. There's Women Caring for the Land that also works with older women landowners and how to successfully navigate conservation programs and things for their properties. And then there's the other end with the younger generation. There's many programs that support beginning farmer ranchers, and that, you know, includes the New Organic Stewards Program that I've worked with. The Greenhorns is another great national organization that provides resources. They have a publication called Affording Our Land, which I would highly recommend to any new farmer. Agrarian Trust is another organization that supports land access for the next generation, and they are working with innovative investors that would like to create a resilient investment model with networks for a land movement on a larger scale.
So with all these things happening, despite the challenges of new farmers coming in, do you feel optimistic about the future of farming in the United States?
Well, you know, I get to work with beginning farmers, and so it's I can't help but not be optimistic. I am optimistic, absolutely, because these people are so passionate, so hardworking, and they are going to figure out a way to bring food to their local community, you know, and so that's it feels very hopeful to me. When I look at the ag census numbers that say there's a 20% decrease in beginning farmers, I think that's, you know, a red flag and should be a red flag to all the way up to the federal level of how can we help support this next generation in this land transfer, incentivize beginning farmers, give tax credits, increase conservation easements, make opportunities for farmland to be affordable for people who want to take care of it.
Well, Lindsay, thanks so much for talking to us today.
Thank you so much for highlighting this issue.
Well, that was Lindsay Reban. She's a consultant for Beginning Farmers and a organizer with the New Organic Stewards Project.
And if you are a new farmer or are thinking about it, we'd love to hear about your experiences. You can share them over at the Central Time Facebook page. Got a spot for you to share your thoughts, your experiences there.